from Square 2, this is What's Wrong with Revenue. I'm Mike Lieberman, CEO at Square 2, and along with my longtime friend and business partner, Eric Kalis, this show answers the question many CEOs, CMOs, CROs, and business owners are asking, what's wrong with revenue? New shows drop every Thursday morning. You can find the video version of the show on YouTube at the Square 2 Marketing Channel, on our website at the What's Wrong with Revenue page located in the footer, or on our free streaming service, Square 2 Plus, both located at square2marketing.com. You can subscribe to the show or subscribe to Square 2 Plus, and we'll email you new show content as soon as it's published. You can also submit questions to the show on the What's Wrong with Revenue page of our website. Eric and I answer questions every single episode. You can also find the podcast version of the show on all your favorite podcast platforms. Enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to What's Wrong with Revenue. I'm Mike Lieberman, CEO at Square 2. I'm with my longtime friend and business partner, Eric Kalis. Eric, say hi to everybody.
Hello, hello.
Today, we're episode 14 of season 2, What's Wrong with Revenue, using boot camps and workshops to accelerate results. So just to remind everybody, go check out the show on YouTube. Square 2 Marketing has a YouTube channel where we post all of the episodes of What's Wrong with Revenue. You can like us, you can subscribe to the show on YouTube. Please leave us comments, we really appreciate it. You can also check out the show on Square 2's free streaming service, Square 2 Plus, square2marketing.com/square2plus. All of our audio and video content is posted there. We post new content to Square 2 Plus pretty much every week. And you can subscribe to Square 2 Plus just like Netflix, and we'll notify you when new content is available. What's Wrong with Revenue has its own channel. Smash the Funnel has a channel. We have channels for CEOs, CROs, CMOs, and we have a technology channel. It's focused on HubSpot as well. Go check it out. I'm sure you'll have an amazing experience. And if you're into audio and video, audio content, folks, all of these shows are published as podcasts on all your favorite podcast platforms. Go check it out, and you can subscribe and download the show as well on any of your favorite podcast platforms. So today, episode 14, we're talking about boot camps and workshops to accelerate results. And if you think about it, when you're talking about strategy and creating your company's big story or campaign messaging or content strategy or a website plan, or even if you're looking at technology, sometimes you can feel like you're leaking these things out kind of slowly over a period of time. It could even be months. And maybe it feels too slow to you. Maybe you feel like you're not really getting the traction you're looking for because it's taking, you're working on it an hour a week or so. And sometimes I can even feel like maybe these efforts are not connected or orchestrated. But there are some ways to deal with that. And one of the ways is with more immersive boot camps or a series of workshops. It really can make you feel like you're making some faster progress and can accelerate some of the work you're trying to do to get some of these connected components set up over a period of hours instead of a period of weeks. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How can these kinds of sessions accelerate your results? What I want to cover today and what Eric and I are going to talk about. What are some of the workshops to consider? How do you organize these into boot camps? Who should attend these boot camps or workshops? Who should run these boot camps or workshops? And what kind of outcomes and deliverables should you expect from these kinds of sessions? So Eric, you're kind of the boot camp master at Square 2. Give us a little insight into what these sessions are and how can they fast track some results our client, our audience might be looking for.
Well, in the 20 odd years or so that we've been doing this kind of work to help entrepreneurial and mid-market companies get to the next revenue generation level, the absolute number one biggest symptom of holding them back is not having a strategy. And a lot of people like to jump right into the tactics. Let's build a website, get the intern to do it. We have nobody else around that has the time. And it's just not very strategic. And when you apply a bit of a strategy to really anything in life, you just get better results. The challenge is that there's, let's call it 8 to 10 different components of having a really great marketing, sales, and customer service revenue generation strategy. But it's a pain in the butt to do all of that stuff. And it takes a while to think through it and edit it and so forth. So what we found is that when you break it into little bite-sized chunks in a series of workshops or a little bit of a longer of a boot camp, you can get a lot more done a lot more efficiently and then get to that strategy, messaging, SEO strategy, website enhancements, whatever you're looking to achieve much more concisely.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. You know, if you're working on something for an hour, even if you get a bunch of people together and you work on something for an hour or even 90 minutes, and then you have to break and go do something else and come back together a week later, it's probably not going to be as efficient as if you can get people together for a couple of hours or even half a day or even a full day and kind of work through all of the elements associated with that. You know, for instance, if, you know, we're talking about marketing strategy and we really want to define our personas, and we want to create a big story for the company that is going to be emotional and compelling for those people that, that make up our personas. And then we want to make sure that the company is clearly differentiated around that big story. You know, that could be weeks worth of work if you're doing it a little bit at a time. But you could also do all that work in a half a day in a bootcamp. And everything in that experience would then be connected, and everyone would be really focused on working on each of those elements. And when you're done one, you move to the next one, and everyone remembers what you talked about. And there's a lot of efficiencies associated with that. And you really could walk out of a half-day bootcamp with, you know, who are we going after? What do we have to say to them? How do we differentiate the company? And maybe even start stretching into a little bit in terms of like a to-do list of what things need to be adjusted to start to implement some of those things. Like, we have to tell all the salespeople, here's our new big story. We have to go on the homepage and update the headline. Like, you could really produce a highly efficient effort in a short amount of time that can potentially accelerate maybe a month's worth of work if you were breaking up and doing it in individual smaller sessions.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the boot camp is an interesting way. So many people say, well, we can't take a half day or a whole day to work on this specific issue, but it's way more efficient. You get everybody together, put it on the calendar 2-3 weeks from now, prep for it in advance, get everybody thinking. And then in that one morning, as an example that you gave, you could really have some deep and rich conversation around how you can go to market in a slightly different way. And we've seen it that, forget about campaigns, new websites, and all that. Companies that simply enhance their stories start to get better results. More people connecting, more people sharing their website address, higher close rate on their sales opportunities, simply because people are like, wow, this company is a little different than all the other ones. But for some reason, most folks don't want to take the time, put it on the calendar, work through it, and really try to come up with something that makes people go, wow.
Yeah. So let's dig into this a little bit. So we keep talking about like workshops and boot camps, and just so that everyone's vocabulary is the same, like, we look at a workshop as like a single element session, right? So, you know, if we're going to work on your website, we would do a website workshop that has a series of, you know, items in it that we want to work with clients on and cover, and certain objectives we want to come out of that workshop with. And then if we're talking about a boot camp, it might be a collection of workshops, right? So we've been, you know, Eric and I have been talking about, like, you know, some of these strategic workshops we do. And if you're going to do a boot camp, you're just going to do a series of workshops over a period of time. So there's a couple different ways to cut that up. But grouping these workshops together allows everyone to really focus and not be distracted. And I think that's kind of what we're trying to communicate here around this concept of a boot camp. So let's talk a little bit about what kind of workshops typically get covered when you're building a revenue generation system, specifically RGS, which we launched publicly this week. If you want to check out a little bit more about what Square 2's RGS offering is, you can go to our website. There's an RGS page now that people can learn a little bit more about RGS, or revenue generation system, that Square 2 is offering. But within that, Eric, what are some of the workshops that someone might need to think about if they're going to go through this kind of strategic shift here?
Well, as we all know, there's a million moving parts to a revenue generation system, right? Everything from your marketing, your sales, public relations, influencer marketing, you could go on and on about all the different components. When we start out with a new client from an RGS perspective, we typically do two boot camps, one boot camp when they first kick off, and then one 30 days later with another set of workshops condensed into a half-day boot camp. And those eight topics are the most critical that any company must attack in order to get some of the outcomes that they're looking for, or increase revenue, or better lead flow, or higher close rate, as we talked about before. So in order, those workshops or topics of the bootcamp would be persona, or in other words, the description of the person or persons you're looking to attract to your company. Included in that would be a conversation around pains and problems, right? Because we have to not only understand who we're marketing to, but understand what challenges they have. So that's typically a 90-minute conversation. Once you know who you're targeting and what issues they have, the second thing you have to do is understand how to solve those issues. And the solving of that, or the solutions, goes hand in hand with differentiation. So that would be the next topic, right? When you're talking about differentiation, you're talking about two key factors. Is something, one, unique to your company? And two, whatever you're talking about is interesting enough that someone would tell their buddy. And if you can accomplish those two factors in the service offerings or the way you describe your business, you would have obviously differentiated yourself from a sea of competitors. This is a good time to remind everybody about Seth Godin's story, The Purple Cow. You see a bunch of brown cows, you don't care. You see a purple cow, you slam on the brakes, jump out, take pictures, tell all your friends, post them to social, call your mom, and all those things that come with a remarkable scenario. After that, now that you know exactly how you're going to differentiate yourself, you can boil it all down in the big story. What's your go-to-marketing message? And I believe we told this story about one of our favorite old-time clients, Arbil. They sell safety products. And instead of saying, take 10% off your hard hats, like all the other competitors, they lead with, everyone goes home safe tonight. And that's a little bit of a different story. Their mission, their whole movement, the revolution they're leading is about getting people home safely, not selling you stuff. And to formulate that big story and emotionally connecting copywriting now goes a long way to making your marketing a lot more effective. And then finally, you have to have some content, right? So that if we're going to say, how are we going to get everybody home safely? We need videos, we need white papers, we need blog posts, we need social media activity to then substantiate why this mission is so important and why you should join with getting everybody home safely, aka do business with Arbil. And that would be an incredibly productive morning for most companies, because while they may think they have some remarkable solutions or know who they're targeting or have some kind of headline, typically it's not strong enough. And that's a big reason why they're not getting the results they're looking for from their revenue generation efforts.
Yeah, that would be a good first start for any company looking to upgrade strategy. And the only thing I'd add to that is part of that content conversation, and one of the elements of the workshop around content would be mapping out their prospect's buyer journey. Because I think understanding the buyer journey answers a lot of questions around content. Because when we talk to prospects and clients about content, lots of times they want to do content. They have a lot of aspirations to be thought leaders and publish a lot of content. But the question we generally get asked is, well, we don't really know what to say. We don't really know what to write about. We don't really know what format that should be in. And a lot of those answers get covered when you start mapping out a prospect buyer journey. What are the stages they go through? Square 2 has a model that we teach our clients. The Cyclonic buyer journey has 8 stages. You can get more information about that on our website. There's tons of blog articles about the Cyclonic buyer journey, but I don't care what buyer journey model you use, but use one and then start to figure out what questions prospects are asking. Prospects generally ask different questions in the beginning of their buyer journey when they're just learning about a topic than they do at the end of their buyer journey when they're trying to decide who to do business with. And by understanding those questions and how they progress across the buyer journey, your content workshop will go much more efficiently. It'll be much easier to say, here's a question. How do we answer that? A video? Great. Okay. Here's a question. How do we answer that? Well, that looks more like a white paper. Okay, great. Here's a question. How do we answer that? Oh, that looks more like a client testimonial video, or maybe we're going to do a Powtoons kind of animated video, or maybe we're going to do an infographic, or we should have an on-demand webinar that answers this question. So that's going to help inform that piece of the bootcamp a lot better than trying to guess, or a lot better than trying to wade your way through it or do what your competitors are doing. It'll provide a nice strategic overlay to that piece of it. So, you know, if you run a half day boot camp and you come out of it with all those questions asked and answered, and you know your big story and you know what's going to make your business remarkable, you've done a lot of strategic work in a very short amount of time. What would boot camp two look like, Eric? What would be the workshops included in that?
Yeah. So boot camp number two goes a little deeper in some of the things you need, right? Like, what's your SEO strategy? That's such a big thing, because not only do you want to make sure that you're found, but you want to be found by the right people. So understanding who you're targeting and what your message is and what your offerings are, now you could do some SEO work as well. And the buyer's journey can be augmented then, because you have your content strategy kind of fleshed it out. Now, the second one is like, how do we make it a remarkable experience, whether online or in person, depending on your business? And that's a big conversation. You know, I was working with a medical practice, and all of those texts and emails you get reminding you of your appointment are actually now not productive at this point. They're irritating, right? Because you get so many. So we were like, well, how do we make it? We still want to remind folks. We still want to be in front of them, but let's make it interesting. So we wrote some remarkable copy that was a little bit humorous, perhaps a bit edgy, but something that someone say, oh, here comes another text from this doctor. Let's see what they have to say now. So once again, understanding that, standing in the shoes of your prospect and looking at what they're doing when they come to your website, talk to your people, fill out a form, what's the follow-up, so forth and so on. From there, you could actually spray in a variety of different directions. And the reason I say that is because there is no specific strategy at this point for any specific company. What you want to do is you want to then take a look at what's the most pressing parts. And I'm going to give you some examples in a second of what you can be doing in order to really maximize that. So let's talk about some options you might have. In the, sorry, I got my list here and now I lost it. There it is. There we go. So you want to now talk about different options you have. So one of the things that you might want to focus on in your workshop is, what numbers do we have to look at? And in our 90.io software for our weekly revenue team meetings for that, we have some of those metrics. But to develop those, that's strategic. What are the 5 to 10 numbers that we should be looking at every single week that'll help us make decisions? By the way, some of those numbers will be leading indicators, right? And some of them will be lagging indicators. So how much money did we book this month in sales is a lagging indicator. How many proposals do we have on the street is a leading indicator for revenue generation. So if you want to talk about the scorecard, this is be very strategic. What metrics, what KPIs are going to be most impactful? Now, the next two that I would recommend go hand in hand, right? You have to have a budgeting understanding, because if you have a plan and you can't fund it, all right, well, that's not going to work, right? And if you don't have any goals, we don't know where the finish line is for this year or quarter or 3 years, however you're whacking it up. So a good part of that bootcamp is, well, where do we want to be a year from now? And what does that look like this quarter and next quarter? So there's some bootcamp work that you can do there, or take that offline into its own 90-minute meeting for a workshop. And then I think one of the biggest things as a stage two is the technology strategy, right? There's not one marketing, sales, or customer service program that could be scaled and automated without software. And once again, back to the same medical practice that I was talking to, that was talking about the text and email reminders, they were doing everything manually, because they were just like not in the know that if they put together a platform like HubSpot, wow, all of a sudden they could automate and scale the company just by using this little piece of technology. And that's important, because every company has their own technology leads. While HubSpot might be the center of the revenue generation effort, you might need other technologies like project management software or quoting tools or integration of 800 number calls into your system. All of those might be other kinds of technologies that you have to discuss as well, because all of them feed into an effective revenue generation strategy. And then from there, you could talk about a lot of other things. What's your social media strategy? What's your public relations strategy? What's your event marketing strategy? Those could all be incorporated also into either workshops or boot camps, depending on if your company does those things or not.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good advice there. The couple of big ones for me is obviously you got to understand where you're trying to go, right? And that's the goals and objectives that Eric talked about. Like, where is the company going from a revenue perspective? This is a revenue generation system. We should talk about revenue. You know, we're $10 million. We want to be a $15 million company. Where's the $5 million coming from? Do we have to replace some client revenue because we actually, even though we're at 10, only 8 of that is renewed for the upcoming year. So it's actually now $7 million in revenue we need to find. And where is that coming from? Where are those leads coming from? How many visitors do we need? Like, there's a lot of math that would need to go into this particular workshop around goals and objectives that everybody on the revenue team would need to know about. What percentage of clients do we need to renew? What kind of revenue is going to come from the current customer base? How many visitors do we need and leads do we need and sales opportunities do we need to get us to these revenue goals? That's going to populate the scorecard Eric talked about and give you some navigational insight over the course of week to week in terms of whether you're on track for goals or not. But in reference to the strategy conversation, do we have enough resources? Do we have enough money budgeted? Do we have enough people who are going to invest enough time to get us to these goals? Lots of times we find clients who have caviar goals and tuna fish budgets. And I mean that all respectfully, like they have very aspirational ideas for their company, but their plans and their budget and their people are just not aligned with their aspirational plans. So it's great to have aspirations for your business from a revenue perspective, but you want to hit those goals and objectives. There's nothing more frustrating than missing goals month over month. You know, everybody gets dejected by that. So prevent that from happening. Look at these goals objectively and say, we need another person. We need an agency to help us. We need to spend, instead of $6,000 a month, we need to spend $12,000 a month and be objective about it. And these boot camps and workshops can really set you up for success if you're having these kinds of conversations up front. That is a huge takeaway for me, for you guys, from me. The other thing is this strategy conversation, these boot camps and workshops should also inform the tactics you're going to need to deliver these kinds of results. You know, Eric threw out a bunch of tactics, you know, public relations, social media, like, yes, those are all important, but stack those up too. We need this kind of contribution from social. We need this kind of contribution from email. We need the website from a search perspective to produce this kind of contribution. Stack up all those tactics strategically in a workshop or part of a bootcamp so you can look at it and be like, yeah, we have enough energy being executed to get us to these goals. Or we're short. We're not going to produce the kind of results we need to hit the goals. Let's start filling in. What do we need to do differently? Do we need to put more into one of these individual tactics, or do we need to add some different channels? Do we need an influencer channel? Do we need to do some paid search or paid social? Like, you'll start to see where the delta is, and it'll help you inform some new things that you might need to do that are different from what you've been doing to produce this machine effect that we're all trying to get to. Anything else you want to add to that, Eric?
No, well spoken.
Okay, good. So let's shift gears a little bit. So again, you do a lot of these boot camps and workshops. If I'm going to do this in my company, how do I get prepared to have a productive boot camp or workshop? What's the prep work I need to do? How should the people participating come to the meeting prepared to have these conversations? How do we get set up to have a really successful boot camp or workshop?
Yeah. So the first thing you got to do is you got to outline exactly what you want to accomplish, right? So if you use, let's say, the framework we gave from the first bootcamp, we're going to do personas, pains and problems, solutions, differentiation, and big story. Let's say that's the first bootcamp. So now someone in your company has to take the lead and make sure that they can facilitate a conversation around that.
Yeah. Who should that be? Because that's one of the questions here. Like, who would run a bootcamp like this internally?
Well, if you're on EOS, it should be your rainmaker, right? The person who is responsible for driving revenue. If you're not on EOS, then maybe your VP of sales or marketing. I mean, marketing is usually the person who's handling the storytelling part of it. And if you have neither of those, then it should be the agency that you're working with. They should come in, be able to conduct this so that you could really start to get a more enhanced message. Cool. If that's a little challenging, and I don't mean this to be self-promoting in any way, but we've written 3 books on all these topics, right? In Reality Marketing Revolution, we actually step you through the steps you're necessary for this bootcamp. And at the end of every chapter, there's action items that you can work on to prepare. Or you can use Reality Marketing Revolution as your itinerary and just go through piece by piece. Your whole team can read it in advance so that everybody's ready to come to the table with differentiation and big story and headlines and things like that. Also, they got this new thing called the internet. And if you are going to research that, there's plenty of free resources out there about how to build a great marketing message. And that's really what we want. The essence of these workshops, the first set of workshops, is to build a great marketing message. Now, it really does pay off, like anything else, to have a facilitator do this with you or for you. And the reason I say that is because it's like my dad, who used to do his taxes himself, right? I said, Dad, whatever you're doing in time and energy, you're still not catching all the things a professional CPA can help you do, which would actually save you more money and free up your time, which he didn't believe for a long time, but now he does. It's the same thing here. If you had a professional come in and facilitate that, and that could be a marketing messaging expert, a consultant who helps people with their message, or a strategic marketing people, all of those folks should be able to step you through these workshops and then be able to challenge you a little bit if you are being a bit wishy-washy or spitting out some platitudes, like anybody would say, because you really do want to make it a very powerful marketing messaging package.
Yeah, I think also it's good to give the people part. Look, it's very likely you haven't done something like this before. So the people you're asking to participate, we're going to talk about that in a second, like who we think should come to these meetings. But if you are doing this for the first time and you've never done it before, it would be really valuable to prep the people with some homework. You know, some reading would be good, having a really strong agenda that highlights these areas that we've been talking about and maybe a couple bullets under each of them, around what you want to accomplish in each of these sessions inside the bootcamp. Obviously, there's a ton of books and there's a ton of articles that you should probably consider a book and maybe three or four articles so that these people can get kind of tuned into what you're going to work on. Like Eric mentioned, Seth Godin, if you're going to work on differentiation, he has tons of articles. He has his blog, his books, like that would be one that I would probably recommend. Purple Cow, Free Prize Insider, or a couple of really short books that he wrote that would definitely illustrate what it means to be remarkable.
Don't forget Donald Miller's work around StoryBrand.
Right, StoryBrand. Yeah, Donald Miller and StoryBrand. He also has a lot of web resources. You could even consider some of the EOS books if you're trying to help people understand like what a productive meeting feels like, because you want to try to practice some of those elements in your meetings also. So I would suggest giving them a little bit of homework to get ready for it. So when everybody comes together, they're all thinking similarly. When you say, okay, we want to make the company remarkable, you won't really have to explain it. Everybody will kind of understand it. They'll know that saying, oh, our people make us remarkable, you know, which Eric kind of alluded to platitudes, like they'll know that that's not really strong enough to pass the purple cow test that Seth Godin talks about. So I would definitely prep these people. So if everyone's prepped, Eric, who should come to these meetings and like what size should these be? Like, let's give the audience a little insight into how to organize participants here.
Yeah. So obviously your sales team should come. And the reason I started with them is because they're hearing comments from prospective buyers literally on a daily basis. So they have a lot of information because that's where the rubber meets the road. Secondly, it should be leadership. And the reason I say leadership is because leadership sets the tone and the voice of what you want your company to sound and talk like, and you know how you want to be presented to the marketplace. So it's a very strategic conversation about what is your story and who are you targeting and so forth. So leadership should be there. Now, you know, to your numbers, one person from the leadership team or all the leadership team members, that's up to the individual company. If one of the people on your leadership team is HR, you might quickly discount that, but HR has to tell the story to prospective clients, prospective employees. So maybe they are involved and they're hearing what prospective employees are saying about your company. So it's up to you. Next, marketing obviously has to be involved. They're the ones that's going to carry that message through all of the collateral material and online resources that they're using. Also, customer service is a good person or people to have because they're, once again, working with existing clients. So they're getting a lot of data points from their conversations with them. That's where I would start. Sales, marketing, customer service, and leadership. One or two people from each one of those groups would be plenty to have a workshop. Because remember, the workshop is the brainstorming session, the first draft. And then after you work on it after the workshop and you're feeling pretty comfortable, that's when the rest of the folks can contribute some insights after they've reviewed it and kind of digested the new strategy just a little bit.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I guess in certain circumstances, you could have people coming and going, right? Like, not necessarily everybody needs to be in all these workshops for the whole half day or however long your boot camp's going to run. I think the commentary about the sales team is really interesting. A lot of clients ask us, oh, are you going to talk to our customers? Are you going to talk to some prospects? And while the answer is yes, you know, and we've done many focus groups and feedback sessions and surveys with clients, customers, and prospects. Generally, our experience has been the sales team has a lot of that tribal knowledge about what prospects and customers are saying. And if you're bringing customer service into this conversation too, which obviously you should, there's going to be a lot of tribal knowledge there about what customers are saying. And, you know, when you're talking about a big story in that first strategic boot camp, I would love the sales reps to be able to say, yeah, our prospects are going to love that. Or, you know what, that sounds a lot like company A. I don't know if that's differentiated enough. And the same thing with the customer service reps. Like, the sales and customer service should be excited about the big story being different and resonating with the people they talk to on a regular basis. So I think it's critical that those people are involved. Also, generally, you have a lot of different kinds of salespeople and a lot of different kinds of customer service people. You might have some new people and some people that have been there for a long time. They're going to bring different perspectives. You might have people that have come over from other companies or from competitors. They're going to bring a different perspective to these conversations. So I think you want to get a lot of voices involved in these conversations. I'm not suggesting you have, you know, 50 people here because it should be productive. I think, you know, what is it? Two pizza? What's the two pizza rule?
Too many people in a meeting if you can't feed them with two pizzas.
Right. Two pizzas. Right. So, you know, if there's eight pieces, if you got 16 pieces, you know, I would think 10 might be on the high side and five might be on the low side in terms of what you want these boot camps to be. And again, I'm actually in favor of, oh, you know, these people came to the beginning, these people came to the end, and you got kind of good perspectives from both. But I think you want to keep it to the two pizza rule if you can, as you're starting. You just don't want it to get unwieldy. The more people you have in there, the more voices you're going to have to manage. And you do have a lot of ground to cover in a relatively short amount of time. Yes, it'll be efficient, but I think you really want to try to keep it to that kind of size.
Yeah, one little bit of experience sharing I'd like to share with the audience is simply that you're going to have one or two people in that group that are going to be naysayers. I don't know. That's not the way we've always done it. I think that expecting that and a little resistance to change should be thought through in the beginning, because you have to have some kind of agreement in the beginning of this. Like, it's blue sky. Like, let's just blow it out. You know, what typically happens in a session like this is we go to absolute the nirvana, and then we back off of a little bit. Okay, but that's nirvana, and that might take us a year to get there. What can we do this quarter that'll help us enhance our marketing message and so forth, right? If you come up with 6 to 8 remarkables, you can't implement those throughout your marketing the first day. Maybe pick one or two for the first quarter and then roll out one or two every quarter for the next year. So naysayers and too much, don't bite off too much you can chew, is all part of regular business stuff. But I just wanted to make that point that inevitably someone will be, woe is us, or we'll never be able to get that done. And that's to be expected.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And a couple of other similar scenarios from an experience perspective, like, you really should set tone up front that this is something we're doing, right? I love telling the story when Cortez came to the New World, he burned his boats so that the crew would not feel like they could get on the boats and go home. We're here. We spent a ton of time getting here. We're moving forward. We're not going backwards. I think being clear with the team participating in this is where we're going. You've been invited to help us get there. Let's participate with that attitude. Also, I've seen a ton of companies, unfortunately, go into this feeling like, well, we'll give it a try. I don't know if it's going to work, but we'll give it anyone that's saying, I don't know if this is going to work. Anyone who feels like this is kind of a short-term thing that you're trying, and if it doesn't work, we're going to go back to the way we used to do it, is also going to basically more than likely sabotage the entire effort. I find that is self-fulfilling prophecy. Someone who's saying to themselves, I don't know if this is going to work, is going to work pretty hard to make sure it doesn't work so that they're right. So those attitudes are critical And putting the team together that does not have those attitudes, but is excited about the change and excited about contributing and excited about what the company can be and what the company can do and doing things differently, those are the people you want to fill the room with.
Yeah, back to our roots of the RGS program being an EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System. There's a great book called Get a Grip. That's a fable about a company that has a lot of resistance. They broke through and now they're doing much better. That might be a good book to distribute to the team before the meeting, just to give them an idea of how a business can transform. And the reason that everybody wants to transform is because whatever you're doing now is not working. You're stale, you're stagnant, you're frustrated. So this has just got to be a better way because you're not getting to where you wanted to go with the old method.
Yeah, that's great. All right, one more thing before we wrap up. So if I'm going to do some of these workshops or I'm going to put them together and run a boot camp, What should I expect from an outcomes and a deliverables perspective? Like what should this group be producing after this after these boot camps or workshops are over?
Yep, two things. One is you now have a common vernacular of how we're talking about the company. That's the goal, right? We have a big story that's going to emotionally connect with people. We have exactly who we're going to target. We're going to say no to people that do not fit that description. We're not going to spend any of our budget with a shotgun. We're going to be very precise and go at it with a rifle, right? So like that common messaging and agreement upon how we're going to talk about the company is number one. Number two is the combination of all of those workshops and boot camps, as we've been describing, becomes your playbook. Right? This is the ABC company way. This is how we talk. This is who we go after. This is what we sell. This is what differentiates from everybody else. This is our website strategy. This is our SEO strategy. This is our budget. Everything becomes your operating playbook for generating revenue. Now, lots of companies have playbooks on how to manufacture something. They have playbooks on how to pay invoices and make deposits. They have how do we hire new people? But they don't have a playbook around revenue generation. So the culmination of all of these workshops and boot camps is going to be your revenue generation playbook.
Yeah, I think a big one is alignment, right? You have three really important teams here present: sales, marketing, and customer service. Getting everybody aligned around the goals, getting everybody aligned around the big story and the message and how we're going to talk about the company. You know, getting marketing and sales specifically, and then eventually, as we execute some customer campaigns, to have context to the campaigns, be able to talk about the campaigns when they're all in conversations with customers or prospects, is also going to do a lot for your company. It's a 1+1=3 kind of exercise that will produce results in a pretty dramatic way in a relatively short amount of time. And then you'll find that these workshops and boot camps contribute a ton of efficiency to the other things that are going to happen next. So when you start to design campaigns and you know who you're going after and you know what you want to say to them, and you cascade that big story into campaign messaging, and then that campaign gets executed in a really targeted and effective way with expectations around performance, I mean, that's a pretty dramatic upgrade for most of the companies Eric and I have run into over the past 20 years. So that's an outcome and a deliverable I would expect too if I was running these boot camps, is to see changes in the way we execute sales and marketing. And then the sales process might be another one of those things that gets revamped around our story and around wanting to create a remarkable experience and leaning into what makes the company special, all potential outcomes from the boot camps and workshops we've been talking about today.
Absolutely. I mean, that's like nirvana. And if we're going to be honest, 50% of the people that engage in this are all in. Another 25% are like, well, I'll water it down a little bit. And then there's 25% that struggle with making the change. So, which bucket do you want to be in as a company?
Right. And then the last thing I'll just mention before we wrap up is, there's an ongoing component of a couple of ongoing components of RGS or the revenue generation system that are important. These boot camps and workshops typically happen at the beginning because we're trying to get this stuff in place. These foundational elements need to be there before we kind of move into fun stuff that everyone's looking for, like the website and the email campaigns. But then we need to have a similar set of processes that follow these boot camps and workshops, like the weekly revenue team meeting. Every single week, sitting down with the revenue team, looking at their rocks, making sure they're on track, checking off their to-dos, looking at the scorecard, working through issues in the IDS session to make sure that progress is being made every single week, and then planning the 30-day sprint for the revenue team. Like, what are we going to accomplish over the next 30 days? Getting everybody to agree to that, having that translate down into to-dos and connecting that 30-day plan to rocks, and then having a 90-day strategy session that allows you to come back together and discuss the progress you've made over the past 3 months, look back on what was done in those boot camps and say, yeah, this worked, this didn't work, this made sense, this is still good, this has to change. Those rhythms are critical to getting you to where you want to be from a revenue perspective. Companies are run by people. People really feel comfortable when there's rhythms and they know what to expect. So getting everybody in these rhythms is going to be also an important outcome that will follow these upfront workshops and boot camps. Good. Let's wrap up, Mark. Anything you want to add?
No, I mean, stick to it. You know, the boot camps and the workshops that we've been discussing today are only the first step. Breathing it into your company, getting buy-in takes time and energy. So keep at it.
Yeah. And if we're going to use EOS as a model, like some of the companies who are taking that move and moving from what they used to do to EOS, it could take them a year or longer to really get good at this. And I think you should have similar expectations if you're implementing a revenue generation system or RGS specifically. You know, you really got to commit to this really forever, but your expectation should be, it might take us at least 6 to 12 months to really start to feel good about this. And then maybe you're becoming expert at it in year two. It's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And anytime you're making big changes like this in your company, you should have expectations that this is something we're going to do from this point forward, as opposed to something we'll try for a couple months. Great, let's wrap up. So just to remind everybody, if you like the show, go to the Square 2 Marketing YouTube channel. All of the What's Wrong With Revenue videos are posted there. You can like us, you can subscribe to it, and you can leave comments. Shows are dropped every Thursday morning, so you can get a new show if you go check it out Thursday afternoon. You can also check it out on the Square 2 Plus, our free streaming service. It looks just like Netflix, square2marketing.com/square2plus. And every single Thursday, we drop a new episode of What's Wrong With Revenue there in the What's Wrong With Revenue channel. And last but not least, if you're into podcasts and audio content, we drop new shows to podcast platforms every Thursday morning as well. You can catch any of our, you can catch our show on any of your favorite podcast platforms. Thanks very much for participating this week. Next week in episode 15, we're going to be talking about setting up and using a scorecard to drive revenue. It's big, it's difficult. It's really critical to tracking your progress quantitatively, as opposed to just how we doing. I don't know. You know, let's, you know, talk about it next week. It's really going to provide a lot of insight and some revelations into how you're doing and what you need to work on. So next week, join us for What's Wrong With Revenue, episode 15, setting up and using a scorecard to drive revenue. Thanks, everybody. Have a really great rest of your week. Eric, thanks for the show.
You got it.